On occasions, when his sister would come looking for Mother Catherine, it wasn't unusual to find hijinks in the dormitory. A holy would often be in progress, and dear Mother in the middle of the floor, dancing her feet off, surrounded by dozens of tiny bare feet, flogging the floorboards with her. The party, brought to a sudden halt by the sister, would then end up in a crying session as the splinters from the floor were carefully extracted from the tiny dancing feet. All in all, the hooly was usually worth the pain. Mother Catherine would never deprive the children of their fun. They had little enough to enjoy or laugh about. One day, when a very devout sister spoke to her about the hoolies and how they were breaking the rule of silence in the dormitory, she very gently reminded her that rules were indeed important, but if we pull the strings too tightly, they will break. The good and holy sister remembered Mother quoting that on another occasion and thought to herself that perhaps she was right. She always seemed to know the right thing to say, even at the most difficult times. Why was this so? Well, it was very simple. She was filled with the power of God's Spirit. Since the day of her confirmation, so long ago, Mother Catherine knew she was filled with every grace and gift she needed for life. She knew that no matter what the difficulty might be, God would provide. All she had to do was lift her heart in prayer. Prayer to her was like a plant. If neglected, it dies. If nourished, it blossoms and produces fruit. Mother Catherine was the most beautiful of all plants. She was more than a plant. She was a garden of plants, pouring out the sweetest of God's fragrance into the lives of all who came in contact with her. Mother Catherine responds, "I deserve to be canonized after this day." Bridie Bulger, one of the many young girls who had found refuge with the sisters from her abusive employer, struggled down the stone steps which led to the kitchen, having answered the doorbell for about the 20th time. "Does nobody else in this city do anything for them poor souls? Everyone thinks the nuns grows the money on trees in the garden." Sister Mary Ann, standing at the kitchen door, smiled to herself as she heard Bridie grumble her way to the bottom step. "What's up, Bridie?" "Me bristles is up, that's what's up. I'd bet me last copper if I had one. That's the same fella at the door again for a bit. I met a couple of walking nuns by the canal," says he, "and they told me to ring the bell for a bit to eat. It's the same lad, I'm sure. He had an old hat on him this morning, but I'd know them eyes anywhere." "Well, Bridie, you had better give him his bit again. You know what Mother Catherine would say." Sister Mary Ann gave her a reassuring pat on the arm. "Oh, don't I know well what she'd say? Didn't I hear her say it myself many's the time? Better to feed 100 impostors than one poor hungry soul be turned away. Asher, I suppose she's right, isn't she?" Bridie Bulger threw her eyes to heaven and carried on mumbling her way into the kitchen.